Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, April 4th, 2019, coming up this hour.
The global stock rally loses momentum while bonds around the world gain.
Weak economic data from Germany weigh on sentiment.
The pound strengthens as UK lawmakers take a no-deal Brexit off the table.
And shares of Tesla slump after a drop in first quarter deliveries.
House Democrats formally demand President Trump's tax returns, plus Joe Biden vows to change but offered no apology for unwanted touching. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets have their home opener today. They are 5-1 after finishing a sweep in Miami. Yankees lost again. Knicks lost. Nets lost as well. So did the Rangers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak, being brought to you by Flexport. Flexport's operating system for global trade delivers visibility and control for predictable supply chain costs and reliable transit times, all from a powerful technology platform. Learn more at flexport.com/OS.
And the global rally in stocks is losing momentum this morning. It's 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 3.5 points. Dow futures down 17. So are the NASDAQ futures. DAX in Germany, little change to lower, while the CAC in Paris is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds. The yield 2.50%. 2-year Treasuries 2.31%. NYMEX crude down 0.4% or 0.25%. $62.21 is the value of a barrel there. COMEX gold little changed, $12.95.30 an ounce. The euro at 1.1232 against the dollar. The yen at 1.1142. John.
And Nate, we begin with the latest signs of progress in trade talks between the U.S. and China. Sources tell Bloomberg a draft agreement would give Beijing 6 years to meet commitments outlined in the deal. Joe Sobchak has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
China would get until 2025 to implement certain parts of it, including commodity purchases and allowing U.S. companies to wholly own their subsidiaries in China. There are still a few other issues that are unresolved, but they are still trying to move toward having some sort of meeting between Trump and Chinese leader Xi somewhere to sign this agreement in the near future.
Another sign of progress, President Trump will meet China's top trade negotiator at the White House today, signaling talks are nearing their final stages.
And that progress helped lift stocks in China for the fifth straight day, while other equities in Asia struggled for direction. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from our Singapore bureau. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Chinese stocks on the mainland outperformed amid reports authorities to offer new measures to reduce taxes and raise wages. The CSI 300 climbed 1% to close at March 2018 highs. Japanese stocks were flat while Australian equities underperformed after a recent rally. India's rupee lost ground after the nation's central bank reduced its key rate, its second rate cut in a row. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. Meanwhile, in Japan, former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn has been arrested again. This time on new allegations he used millions of dollars from Nissan for his own purposes. And Bloomberg's Stephen Engel has that story.
Tokyo prosecutors entering Carlos Ghosn's residence in Tokyo before 6 a.m. local time this morning. They asked him to accompany them for voluntary questioning. He would be questioned on allegations of breach of trust and then rearrested. These are new allegations in addition to the financial misconduct allegations. That's where we stand right at this moment.
And these are the most serious charges yet against Ghosn, who had been free on bail for less than a month.
All right, turning to Europe now. Lawmakers in the UK have taken the most damaging Brexit option off the table. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and John. A block to a no-deal Brexit. Shortly before midnight, lawmakers voted by the narrowest of margins, a majority of just one, to seek another extension from the EU and to rule out leaving without a deal on the 12th of April. Prime Minister Theresa May opposed the emergency legislation, which was put forward by a rank-and-file member of Parliament. The law now has to pass the House of Lords, Britain's second chamber. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. And we're getting some weak economic economic readings out of Germany this morning. German manufacturing factory orders unexpectedly plunged in February. Plus, the nation's five leading research institutes are slashing their forecasts for growth. Now, Bloomberg's Matt Miller has more from Berlin.
This is a big growth cut forecast, cut by more than half. Factory orders this morning we saw plunge 4.2% for the month of February. The survey was for a gain. So the economy here is not looking good.
Germany's research institutes say the economy will expand 0.8% this year. They had originally expected growth of 1.9%.
And on the corporate front in Germany, merger talks between Deutsche Bank and Commerzbank continue. But now the Financial Times reports Italian lender UniCredit is preparing a rival bid for Commerzbank if those talks fail. Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern reports the move from UniCredit comes amid opposition to a Deutsche Bank-Commerzbank deal.
They're basically waiting in the wings. If these talks were to break down, they're ready to step in and make a bid for Commerzbank, considering the fact that many people in Germany say this isn't a deal that could work. It has a lot of regulatory hurdle. We've seen a lot of news. This can mean thousands of job cuts.
According to the Financial Times, a bid from UniCredit would involve buying a large stake in Commerzbank and merging it with UniCredit's German unit. And that has shares of Commerzbank up more than 3% in Frankfurt.
And here in the U.S., shares of Tesla down 7% in early trading. The electric car maker reported a record decline in deliveries during the first quarter. Vehicle shipments fell to 63,000, down from 90,000 in the previous quarter.
And at New York court today, Tesla faces off with the SEC over CEO Elon Musk's Twitter posts. Bloomberg's Jill Schneider reports.
The Securities and Exchange Commission wants a judge to hold Musk in contempt. The regulator says his unapproved February tweet about vehicle production was misleading and violated a settlement with the SEC, saying social media posts about the company need to be approved. In response, Musk cites his constitutional right to free speech and says he's made a diligent attempt to comply with the order. In New York, I'm Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jill. Right now, S&P futures down less than a point. The Dow futures, 26 points lower. That's down about 0.1%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, 16 points lower. That's down 0.2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. House Democrats formally demanded that the IRS turn over 6 years of personal and business tax returns from President Trump. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
The request is for personal and business tax returns. Ways and Means Chair Richard Neal writing that it is Congress oversight responsibility to review the president's business activities before and during his first term. The president?
I've been under audit for many years because the numbers are big, and I guess when you have a name, you're audited. But until such time as I'm not under audit, I would not be inclined to do that.
And he continues, he's always under audit. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The New York Times reports some of Special Counsel Mueller's investigators say the findings of their probe are more damaging for President Trump than Attorney General Barr indicated in his four-page summary. Investigators say the pilots of a 737 MAX jetliner that crashed in Ethiopia last month struggled as the plane's automated commands pushed the nose down. Ethiopian Transportation Minister Dagmait Mogis says the investigation found the flight took off normally and the crew performed all the procedures provided by Boeing, but were not able to control the plane.
It is recommended that the aircraft flight control system related to the flight controllability shall be reviewed by the manufacturer.
The disaster killed 157 people. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell deployed the so-called nuclear option by changing the Republican-controlled chamber's rules to speed approval of President Trump's nominees who have been slow-walked by Democrats.
As I've explained in recent days, it is time for this sorry chapter to end.
Debate time on the Senate floor for nominees and U.S. District Court judges will be cut to 2 hours from 30 hours. House Democrats are looking to find a compromise solution to the Republican tax law's cap on the amount of state and local taxes, or SALT, that can be written off a federal return. Representative Tom Suzuzzi has written a bill to reinstate the entire break for SALT. Former Vice President Joe Biden, accused by several women of unwanted physical contact, said he needs to be more respectful of the personal space of others.
Social norms have begun to change, they've shifted, and the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset, and I get it.
In the short web video, Biden did not apologize, but says he will be more mindful. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thank you, Michael. 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
John, is it possible Jacob deGrom will this season be even better than he was last year when he won the Cy Young with a 1.70 ERA? Only won 10 games because the Mets never scored any runs for him, but last night they did, and he was part of that.
Pitch on the way from Richards, and deGrom, it's a high fly ball to deep right. Back goes Herrera. He's in front of the fence. That ball is gone! Into the Mets bullpen, Jacob deGrom rips his second career home run. And the Mets take a 2-0 lead here in the third.
WCBS The Call on the mound. DeGrom, superb. 7 scoreless innings, allowed only 3 hits. He struck out 14. The Mets led 6-0. The Marlins scored 4 times in the bottom of the ninth, but the Mets won 6-4 to complete a sweep in Miami, a 5-1 road trip as they come home for the home opener at Citi Field today against Washington. Yankees will be in Baltimore. That's the Orioles' home opener. Yanks lost again at the stadium, striking out, not scoring runs, and another injury. Tigers won 2-1 on a Gordon Beckham home run in the 8th inning off Chad Green. And Troy Tulowitzki had to leave the game with a strained calf. He's the latest Yankee to appear to be headed to the injured list. Nets trying to make the playoffs. A home loss to Toronto didn't help. 115-105. Orlando beat the Knicks 114-100. If the season ended now, the Nets would sneak into the playoffs. Orlando would make it as well. Miami would be the team on the outside. Rangers have only 2 games left this weekend. They lost at the Garden to Ottawa 4-1. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks. Just ahead, we'll speak to Mike Bell, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology, the Quant School on the Hudson. Visit their Hoboken campus April 6th for a graduate open house. Learn more at stevens.edu/open house.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. The global rally in stocks is losing momentum as bonds recover ground alongside gold as investors await further news on U.S.-China trade talks ahead of tomorrow's jobs report. We check the markets every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 3 points at the moment. That's a loss of 0.1%. Dow futures down 24 points. NASDAQ futures lower by almost 14. The DAX in Germany, little change to lower. The CAC in Paris down 0.3%. Price of the 10-year up 6/32. The yield at 2.50%. 2-year treasuries yield 2.31%. NYMEX crude down 0.3% or 20 cents. $62.27 per barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 40 cents. It's at $12.95.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1234. against the dollar. The yen at 111.40. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, with more on what's going on around the world, good morning, Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. House Democrats on the Ways and Means Committee made their long-anticipated request to the IRS commissioner for 6 years of President Trump's tax returns. The president says he won't comply, citing an ongoing audit. In their first official word, investigators said the pilots of a 737 MAX jetliner that crashed in Ethiopia last month struggled as the plane's automated commands pushed the nose down. The disaster killed 157 people. In baseball, it is the home opener for the Mets. Yesterday, the Mets beat the Marlins. The Yankees lost, along with the Orioles and Giants. The Red Sox beat the A's 6-3. The Nationals won. In the NBA, the Nets and Knicks lost, along with the Wizards. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Investors waiting for further news from the U.S.-China trade negotiations today. We get the key jobs data tomorrow. Do you pile into this rally that has lifted the S&P 500 14.5% since the start of the year? Mike Bell, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, is here this morning to guide us through all of this. I would be tempted just to sell in April and go away, right?
I think it's about having some balance at the moment. When you look out across the global economy, you see CapEx intentions which are quite weak. So I think there's downside risk to business investment, both in the US but also in Europe and Asia. On the other hand, the consumer seems to be holding up okay for now, so consumer confidence is still relatively elevated in most parts of the world. And I think the question over the rest of this year is going to be which of those two things wins out. There's obviously a risk that the weakness in the manufacturing sector and the export story globally and the CapEx weakness starts to infect the health of the consumer. On the other hand, it's possible that a strong consumer with healthy labor markets lifts the weakness in manufacturing. So that's the key question, I think, over the rest of this year. And obviously, the discussions around trade are going to play into that because were things to get better on the trade front, you could see business investment intentions lift, and that could feed across into a pickup in global trade as well. But I think it's still too early at this point to say for certain that that's going to happen.
We got a taste of the downside risk to business investment with the GDP figures buried in there. Does that raise the risk of an earnings recession for you in the coming quarters?
Yeah, so I think that is key. Ultimately, if you look at earnings expectations for this year, they're weak for Q1 with an expectation for a pickup in earnings growth by the time we get through to Q4. So the risk is that with wages rising, that starts to squeeze on corporate profit margins, and that perhaps that Q4 earnings number is too optimistic. If that were the case, then what you'd be monitoring for is, do businesses start to cut back on costs? So do they start to cut CapEx? So say we see in the intention surveys that there's some risk that is happening already. But really, I think the focus should be on the jobs report tomorrow and over the coming months, because the thing that's most crucial for the global economy and for equity markets is, are businesses going to respond to pressure on margins by cutting jobs? If not, then it's a pretty healthy outlook.
If CapEx starts
to feed through to jobs, then you've got trouble.
Yeah, with the respect to wage pressures, too, do the companies in the U.S. in particular have pricing power right now?
Well, if you look at inflation, it suggests that there's not that much pricing power. So obviously, you've got a very tight labor market leading to a pickup in wage growth. So can workers have got some pricing power for the first time really since the financial crisis? But companies are clearly struggling to pass that on to consumers. So that's where the risk comes from, a squeeze on margins coming from higher wages, but companies struggling to pass those higher.
What are you telling investors to do at this point?
I think it's all about balance, ultimately, right? So there's both upside and downside risks at this point. You could see a pickup, as I say, from manufacturing, perhaps helped by China stimulus, and unemployment rate, obviously, globally and in most of the major economies has been trending downwards. So those are the sort of upside risks. On the downside, you've got this pressure on margins potentially from higher wage growth squeezing costs and potentially causing cutbacks in business investment and, in a worst-case scenario, potentially in jobs. So given that balance of risks, I think it's about having a balanced portfolio, so owning some treasuries, owning some duration in case the Fed are forced to cut interest rates. On the other hand, also balancing that with some equities, but within equities and within credit, going up in quality. So focus on quality stocks. Also, large cap stocks tend to be more resilient if some of the downside risks do materialize. And I think value as well. So not overpaying for stocks makes a lot of sense at this stage in the cycle and given the balance of risks.
Hey, just 20 seconds left. How worried are you about Europe?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's ultimately the weakness in Europe at the moment is concentrated in the industrial export sector. So consumer confidence has actually been picking up in Europe. So the question is, are we going to see a pickup in exports? And that is ultimately linked to China. So we know that China is stimulating, but to what extent is that China stimulus going to lift European exports? That, I think, is the key question for Europe over the coming months.
Mike, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Michael Bell, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And later this morning, we'll take a closer look at the jobs report tomorrow. Preview that all-important U.S. jobs report with Bloomberg economist Yelena Shalateva. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Eisner Amper, named Best Global Accounting Firm for the third year in a row by Hedgeweek, a leading hedge fund industry publication. Learn more at EisnerAmper.com/FS.
We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Trump will meet Chinese Vice Premier Liu He at the White House today as speculation grows that negotiations over a U.S.-China trade deal are entering their final stages. We get more from Bloomberg's Bob Moon.
The deal as it's now being crafted, according to three people familiar with the talks, would give Beijing till 2025 to meet commitments to buy more commodities and allow American companies to wholly own enterprises in the Asian nation. But negotiators are cautioning a final deal on core issues remains elusive. In a Bloomberg interview, former Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd was skeptical that trade rep Robert Lighthizer can win acceptance of his enforcement mechanism.
No, but he might get half a glass.
The problem, he said, is the idea of keeping tariffs in place while Washington monitors Chinese compliance.
That ain't gonna fly.
Still, Rudd says some kind of ongoing compliance check does make sense. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And in the UK, the pound is stronger after Parliament voted to block a no-deal Brexit. We get details on that from Bloomberg's Alex Morales in London.
The UK took decisive steps to avoid a damaging no-deal Brexit as the House of Commons pushed through legislation to delay Britain's exit date, and Prime Minister Theresa May met with opposition Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn to seek common ground on a way forward. The bill by backbench lawmakers to force May to delay Brexit beyond April the 12th scraped through the House of Commons by one vote. It's now likely to face an easier passage through the House of Lords. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Alex. Germany's painful industrial slump shows little sign of ending. Factory orders plunged the most in a decade in February, led by a drop in exports.
Shares of Tesla down more than 7%. The electric car maker reported a record decline in deliveries during the first quarter, stoking concern demand is waning for Tesla's Model 3.
On the banking front, Commerce Bank shares are 3% higher. The Financial Times reports UniCredit's preparing a bid for the German lender should its merger talks with Deutsche Bank fail.
And Nomura Holdings has unveiled plans to cut $1 billion of costs at its struggling wholesale business as Japan's largest securities firm embarks on yet another sweeping overhaul of its international operations.
And we have this red headline crossing the Bloomberg terminal now. Italy is said to cut its GDP growth forecast for this year from 1% to 0.1%. Now, a check of the markets. We do it every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 4 points. Dow futures down 35. NASDAQ futures down 16 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.49%. The 2-year 2.31%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nate. 5:33 on Wall Street. And as time for news from around the world, once again, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Investigators released their preliminary findings in last month's crash of an Ethiopian Airlines Boeing jet. Ethiopian Transportation Minister Dagmait Moges said the probe found that the flight crew had trouble flying the plane by Boeing specifications.
The crew performed all the procedures repeatedly provided by the manufacturer, but was not able to control the aircraft.
The reports conclude that Boeing reviewed the flight control systems for the 737 MAX 8 jet. The House Ways and Means Committee has formally asked the IRS to release 6 years of President Trump's personal and business tax returns. The president says he's not inclined to go along with the request, but California Congresswoman Linda Sanchez says it's not up to him.
He doesn't have any say because the request was not made to the president. The request, per the statute, was made to the IRS commissioner, and we expect the IRS commissioner to comply with the law.
It comes hours after the Democrats in the House Judiciary Committee voted to move forward with efforts to subpoena the Justice Department for any special counsel Robert Mueller's report and parts of it along the way with underlying materials. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports some of Mueller's investigators have told associates that the findings of their probe are more damaging for President Trump than Attorney General William Barr indicated in his four-page summary. The Senate voted to restore rules that reduce debate time for sub-cabinet nominees from 30 hours to 2 hours. The move makes it easier for Republicans to confirm many of President Trump's nominees. Joe Biden is responding to allegations of inappropriate conduct from several women. In a video posted to Twitter, the former vice president says social norms have shifted and the boundaries of protecting personal space have been reset.
I've worked my whole life to empower women. I've worked my whole life to prevent abuse. I've written, and so the idea that I can adjust to the fact that personal space is important, more important than it's ever been, is just not thinkable. I will.
Biden offered no apology, but says he will be more mindful in the future. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. So, Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, it's early, but the Mets are 5-1 and the Yankees are 2-4. Mets finished a sweep in Miami, holding on at the end. They took a 6-0 lead in the ninth inning, ended up winning 6-4. So Jacob deGrom, who only won 10 games last season due to lack of run support, is already 2-0, yet to give up a run in 13 innings.
Smooth, I felt. You know, I wasn't falling off hard. I always, whenever I say that, I feel like you could almost, like, after you throw, just walk the home plate. You know, it's none of the falling off to first. It's in a direct line, and, you know, I felt that tonight.
A career-high 14 strikeouts. DeGrom even homered for the second time in his career. Baseball's back at Citi Field today, the Mets' home opener against Washington. As for the Yankees, second straight game where they scored only one run. They struck out 18 times, most in Yankee history for a 9-inning game. The Tigers won 2-1 on a Gordon Beckham home run in the 8th inning off Chad Green. What's up with Aaron Boone's offense?
The time of day makes it a little challenging seeing, you know, they've certainly pitched us tough, but we got to get better at, you know, controlling the strike zone and, you know, frustrating that back-to-back days we've been able to grab a lead and the pitching's been real good, but we got to step it up.
They're in Baltimore today. Another day, another Yankee injury. This time, Troy Tulowitzki, who has battled them the last 2 years, didn't play at all last season. He's got a strained calf, expected to go on the injured list. That would mean 11 Yankees on the injured list. Nets lost to Toronto at Barclays, 115-105. They're still hanging on for a playoff spot, but just barely. Orlando is in that fight, too. And the Magic, as of now, in the playoffs after they beat the Knicks, 114-100. Rangers at the Garden, beaten by Ottawa, 4-1. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thank you. Coming up on 5:38 on Wall Street, the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on unicorns spreading fear of an end to the bull market. Also, in this week's issue, how the battle lines are being drawn in the wake of the Mueller report. Jillian Goodman wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Trump is in a really interesting position here in that on the one hand, he was the subject of this 22-month investigation, but now he is the only one who gets to decide what parts of that, you know, what parts of what was provided to the investigators are and aren't covered by executive privilege.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly's weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And 5:39 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. Bank of Montreal has signed a 15-year lease for six floors at 151 West 42nd. That's the Times Square skyscraper that used to house publishing company Condé Nast. The Canadian bank's capital markets division will take over 215,000 square feet of the 1.8 million square foot property. The New Jersey office sector shows signs of strengthening across all major fundamentals. That's according to a Cushman & Wakefield report, which says the state recorded the lowest office vacancy rate in 12 years. On the industrial front, Cushman & Wakefield says New Jersey's experiencing sustained strength in leasing, new development, and pricing. About 30 years after a U.S. state last imposed a specialty tax on sugary drinks, Connecticut's governor is pushing for one to help close a budget deficit. They estimate it would generate $163 million in new annual revenue. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
Ed, thanks a lot. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Tesla's declining deliveries, deepening concern about demand.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WHAM 1180 in Rochester, New York, we're watching for earnings from Constellation Brands.
I'm Anna Edwards on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following Brexit developments after Parliament moved to block a no-deal exit.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on fresh numbers showing Metro New Yorkers pay the highest property taxes in the nation.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn has been arrested again, and prosecutors accuse him of using millions of dollars from Nissan for his own purposes. Ghosn had been free on bail for less than a month. And in the second biggest IPO of the year in the U.S., Tradeweb Markets raised $1.1 billion. The bond and derivative platform sold shares above the marketed range. Tradeweb also increased the number of shares it was selling. The stock begins trading today on the NASDAQ. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Global news, 24 hours a day, at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. The global stock rally appears to be losing momentum. Bonds recovering as investors await further news from U.S.-China trade negotiations ahead of tomorrow's March jobs report. We check the markets every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down nearly 3 points now. Dow futures off by 20 points. NASDAQ futures down 11. The DAX in Germany, little change to lower. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. FTSE MIB in Italy down nearly 0.5%. Italy is said to have cut its GDP growth forecast for the year from 1% to 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, the yield at 2.49%. 2-year Treasuries 2.31%. NYMEX crude down 0.3% or 22 cents. $62.23 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up a dime to $12.95.40 an ounce. The euro at 1.1225 against the dollar. The yen at 111.43. This morning we get initial jobless claims. They're due out at 8:30 Wall Street time, followed by the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. That's coming out at 9:45. Constellation Brands reports earnings before the bell. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The preliminary report into the crash of the Boeing 737 MAX 8 has been released in the Ethiopian capital. Preliminary investigation results show that the takeoff appeared to be normal, but soon after, the crew was not able to control the plane, even though they repeatedly performed all procedures provided by Boeing. The plane came down just minutes after takeoff, killing all 157 on board. Democrats formally called for the IRS to hand over 6 years of tax returns from President Trump. In baseball, it's the home opener for the Mets. Yesterday, the Mets beat the Marlins. The Yankees lost, along with the Orioles and Giants. The Red Sox beat the A's 6-3. The Nationals won. In the NBA, the Nets and Knicks lost, along with the Wizards. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 of Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. And we're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, the Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Jen, good morning to you. Let's start with our first piece from Therese Raphael. Even Jeremy Corbyn can't kill the no-deal beast. Parliament has finally made it binding that the UK can't leave the EU without a deal. So can we all move on from here?
Well, no. I mean, this is Raphael's point, and it's a really interesting one. So even though this legislation or this preference was expressed last night in the British Parliament, it's got to get okayed by the House of Lords. It requires the government to seek an extension from Brussels, and that's going to have to be approved unanimously by 27 EU member states. That bloc's leaders still need to be convinced that they're delaying for a worthy reason and not just giving the UK more time to kind of wallow in its own political mire. But there's another issue here, too, and that's the withdrawal agreement bill. This is a key piece of legislation that Theresa May has been putting forward, and it's needed to implement any Brexit deal that's finally agreed upon by Parliament. So if May's government can reach some kind of accord with Jeremy Corbyn's opposition Labour Party in the coming days, May can try to rush it through. But given the bad feeling that's been building up in Parliament, the success here is not a given.
All right, let's game that. Is there a chance for an agreement with Labour?
Well, Raphael's got a neat take on this. She says the appeal that May has made to Corbyn is both desperate and clever. I mean, to be fair, there is an alignment of interest between the two leaders. Delivering Brexit is May's central mission as prime minister, but it's really something that Corbyn has wanted for a long time, too. They've got very different visions. Corbyn's is of a really interventionist socialist Britain, and it depends on being free from EU constraints on state aid and other policies. But you really can't overstate this common ground, because neither side trusts the other, and you can kind of hardly blame them given the stakes, because if either of them get it wrong, you know, each could end up splitting their own party or their vote.
Do we know which party is at greater risk of fracture?
The way Raphael thinks about it, she says the Conservative Party is really at much greater risk here because Corbyn can settle for a permanent customs union. And he also, his party has been clamoring for a second referendum for a long time, and it's really hard to see how he can strike any agreement with May that doesn't include that. However, the Tories were elected on a manifesto to take Britain out of the customs union, and May had strongly opposed a second referendum, but it looks like she could be shifting her position on both. And the question now is, can the Conservative Party survive this degree of compromise from their leader?
Let's move on to our next piece from Bloomberg Opinion. Keep an eye on Trump's other trade war. We're seeing some signs of a trade deal possibly emerging between the U.S. and China. So what's the other discussion we should be watching?
This is between the U.S. and the European Union, who, I'd like to point out, comprise 47% of the world economy together. They're set to start their own discussions on industrial tariffs. And then given the close historical ties, economic and geostrategic coordination, you know, you would normally expect these talks to go quite well, but Giuliano says that in practice, the risk of a trade war is really all too real. I mean, the mood music to start with really isn't great. Trump has called the EU a foe, decried its trade practices as very unfair. Negotiations are meant to start soon, but France is actually dragging its feet because of the U.S. decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord.
Yeah, and in this piece by Ferdinando Giuliano, it raises the question, what is it about the EU that Mr. Trump has in his sights?
This is the $157 billion surplus in trade with goods with the United States that Europe has. This is in particular Germany's car exports. The problem Giuliano sees is that Trump's got this primitive conception of global commerce. Trade balances are an indicator of what country is winning and which is losing. But really, you've got to look at these as the result of complex supply chains. So the danger is that Trump replicates what he's been doing with China, slap tariffs on a wide range of goods as a way to extract concessions.
Real quick, can either bloc emerge from a potential war unscathed?
No. It would be a severe blow to the European Union economy, and that's already slowing. And in the U.S., consumers are going to be the ones that are going to have to pay the cost of any further tariffs on EU imports, and America would also have to accept that its influence in Europe would deteriorate more than it already is.
All right, Jen, thanks. Always a pleasure. Jen Ryan. And you can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing O-P-I-N, go. Nathan.
John, thank you. It's 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Brief, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we are watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Short of a subpoena, the House Oversight Committee is unlikely to get President Trump's financial reports. Under the American Institute of CPAs ethics rules, accountants have a duty to maintain the confidentiality of their clients' records. Top Republican senators voiced optimism about writing a federal privacy bill following the first meeting of a bipartisan group of lawmakers working on the issue. And the Chamber of Commerce has launched a tool to help people find health insurance offered through President Trump's expanded version of small business health plans.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now to another legal story we're watching this morning. Controversy always surrounds the death penalty, especially among Supreme Court justices. But rarely is that controversy as public as it was this week when justices were still litigating a death penalty case from February in their opinions. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to University of Texas law professor Steve Vladek.
Steve, we often see friction among the justices when there are last-minute stay requests or questions about the method of execution. Are these latest death penalty cases any different?
No, June, I think they're a little bit different in one important respect, which is that we no longer have Justice Kennedy. And so I don't think that the views have changed. I don't think that the ideologies have changed. I think it's just that the moderating influence that for so long had kept, I think, both wings of the court in check in these capital cases is now gone. And I think we've seen that, you know, over the last 6 weeks in the Alabama case, in the Texas case, and then, you know, Monday in the Missouri case.
You wrote a column entitled, "It's Neil Gorsuch's Supreme Court Now, Not Anthony Kennedy's." I would have thought it was John Roberts because he is the swing vote in several cases right now. Why do you think it's Neil Gorsuch?
Yeah, I didn't pick the title. So the gist of the column was actually less about Justice Gorsuch and more about how Monday's decision in Bucklew, when the court upheld, you know, or rejected this challenge by this Missouri inmate to a lethal injection protocol that could potentially torture him, that this is really what the court's going to look like without Kennedy, not necessarily because of the result, but because you had a majority opinion that basically paid no never mind to the evolving standards of decency test that the Supreme Court had, you know, for decades relied upon the Eighth Amendment context, and you had all of this sniping over, you know, the last-minute maneuverings in the Alabama case from February, that, June, I have a hard time thinking Justice Kennedy would have abided, that we're seeing, you know, rancor and division from behind the scenes showing up in published opinions. That's pretty unusual.
That's University of Texas law professor Steve Vladek speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at noon, Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio. Find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures down 2 points now. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down nearly 8. The price of the 10-year Treasury up 7/32. The yield 2.49%. 2-year Treasuries 2.31%. NYMEX crude down 18 cents, trading at $62.28 a barrel. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.